And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us this week. All the other fellas are off on vacation this week. That's what happens when we get to the off season of the NFL. It's when everybody can take a little time here and there. But as you guys know, I will probably be with you each and every week, and you guys will enjoy it. Now, lots of fun things we are going to do today. We're going to be joined by RJ Choppy pretty soon from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, because remember, we are trying to fix the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Falcons all on today's show. Honestly, they're all not that far off. You guys know that. Probably throughout the offseason, we will try to fix a handful of other teams. If you guys want to text in or tweet in, all those fun things, you guys know how to find us. You text in your suggestions. We will try to get to your teams in the next few weeks as well. We're going to try to get to them before the draft, and then we'll try to get to them after draft and free agency. Should be a lot of fun. Besides RJ, we will be joined by Ethan O'Connor, who is a transition player from the Georgia Swarm lacrosse team. You know, we've been doing some stuff the last few weeks with them. Be good to have Ethan on. And trust me, transition player doesn't mean like he's moving on or he's going to – no, it's a type of position. We will totally get into it. I promise you guys will learn more about lacrosse in the back half of this game than you probably knew to start with, and maybe you'll actually make it out to a game. But unless I am completely mistaken, which does happen from time to time, I see that our first guest is up, so I want to bring him on without further ado. When we had his partner on a little over a year ago, I called him the voice of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but right now I'm going to bring him on and say that he is the actual voice and the reigning, defending, undisputed high-low champion, because we don't recognize that cheating win earlier today. He is RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan. How you doing, RJ?
I'm doing well. I unfortunately did not win today. That's the unfortunate thing. I can't take credit for that win. It was cheating. That was cheap. Very cheap.
Sure it was. Because that was, you know, they gave you the worst draw. For anybody that doesn't know how high-low works, basically Troy Hughes, who is the producer of the show, gives you, Sean, and Roy all these different clips. They have different themes. Today was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I thought it was a very cool topic. And you can either pick the clip in high or in low. RJ was put behind the eight ball with a pretty hard one to start with. But that first round guess in the back half, I think they thought maybe you were colluding a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they think so. But you know, I have these ways of pulling these things out. It just didn't work out today. You know, I didn't even have John Legend. That was the winning one. I didn't even have it on the radar. I wasn't thinking John's. I was lacking in the John category. I really was.
It definitely was. But for all those who – you guys, if you're not listening to 105.3 The Fan, the morning show, then you guys have got to check Sean and RJ. It's one of the best shows nationally. I think you guys are nationally rated anyway, but it's one of the best shows. I know I enjoy it, but I brought you on because one of the things we're doing on today's show, even though we're an Atlanta-based show, we are fixing three different teams, and all these teams are very close to being playoff contenders and potentially winning. Obviously, that'd be the Packers, because one of our other co-hosts here, who is conveniently not here, is associated with them. I've been a Cowboys fan my whole life, so we bring the Cowboys into it, and then we fix the Falcons later on. But, you know, overall, what are you thinking of the Cowboys right now? And we'll leave out, you know, Romo's speculation of a coach, and we'll leave out some of that. But from this point going forward, what things should we fix to make the Cowboys Super Bowl contenders again?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know exactly what they need to fix. The defense needs to get better.
Right.
This whole talk that the receivers don't get open, that's a lie. They get open. This nonsense that Dak can't throw the football in the tight spots, that's a lie. The thought that he can't throw the ball downfield, that's another lie. I mean, there's more fake news going on with the Cowboys than there is in Washington, for crying out loud. It is fake news all over the place. Dak Prescott is, you know, last year, his rookie year, one of the better quarterbacks throwing the ball beyond 15 yards. The field. So, I mean, I don't understand this whole thought that the Cowboys offense just needs a complete overhaul. People lose their minds in the NFL based off of 1 year. Like, you know, all of a sudden this Philadelphia Eagles team is great. Are they? Or they just have one really good year and they'll regress to the mean next year. You know, not every team is the Patriots and, you know, for crying out loud, Aaron Rodgers misses the postseason every now and then.
Right.
You know, Brady and Manning are the only guys who woke up and won 12 games a year. That's it. It's two guys.
Yeah, because even Drew Brees had a handful of seasons where he was, what, 8 wins or less. So, I mean, you know, besides those anomalies, I think what really happened is Dak Prescott had and Ezekiel Elliott had great breakout years. We started to see what this team can be. It's more of a dynasty run. It's more of a marathon than a sprint. So when it stumbles a little bit in the second, because of the lack of continuity, we had, you know, we had Sean Lee go down. We had Tyron go down. We had some of the key pieces to any football franchise that if you take the left tackle, you take the middle linebacker, and you take the starting running back away, yeah, I dare anybody to try to win 8 games. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. Even Tom Brady's not winning without a left tackle.
Right. And, you know, I don't know how into the advanced stats you are, but there's numbers out there that show that the best running back in the league doesn't give you more than one win a year. The best running back compared to the average one. That doesn't add one win. The left tackle adds far more than that. The best quarterback adds a handful. You know, it's like your defense, the game is won with a defensive line and an offensive line. And it's been that way for, you know, 100 years. Now, the quarterback's importance has grown compared to the running backs and, you know, the wide receivers, but you still win the same way. You still win with a strong O-line. They have that. And you should win with a strong D-line, and they don't, and that's what they need.
Yep, I definitely agree. I don't know, I think Colin Cowherd was the loudest to say it, but, you know, most of us media people who know generally what we're talking about or can at least good educated guess know that, like you said, it's about protecting our quarterback and making the opposing quarterback just as uncomfortable as possible. If you can do those things, you can typically find yourself somewhere around the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, a lot of these games are one-possession games, and you know, you get a turnover here or there. You'll find your way of winning, and that's the main difference. I mean, you know, how do upsets don't happen in the NFL because a team outplays another one. They happen because you know, there's a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to put this to bed as well because I feel like you're going to agree with me or at least have a good insight as well. A lot of people out this way think that Jerry Jones is going to try to make a Kirk Cousins move, and that's just dumb because he has Dak. Dak is, at the very least, the bridge, the 4 or 5 year bridge between Romo and whoever the next guy is, but at his best is the next franchise guy. So he's not going after Kirk Cousins, am I right?
No, that's crazy talk. He ain't going after Kirk.
That's pretty much Falcons fans who are hoping that Dallas will stay down a level so that, you know, they don't have to run against us in the playoffs. And sorry, Falcons fans,
right,
you guys can keep the hate mail up, but it's probably our most popular thing when I bash the Falcons.
Right. Yeah, he's not going after Kirk. That's just flat out not.
Right. And you know, the other big rumor out this way is that Jerry Jones would try to push to draft, you know, another Ezekiel Elliott-like running back. That's not how it works. He'll go get if DeMarco is available. Did we just lose RJ? I think we did. We'll try to get him back on. But no, what I'm trying to say, I'll get to one of my main points here in a second. That he's not going to draft another Ezekiel Elliott-like player because that's just dumb. Let's see if we can get him back on. We should be able to get him back on just here shortly. He may have been driving through a tunnel. You know, they have a lot of those out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Plus, you know, they've been having some weather out that way. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what we can do to get him back on. I feel like we were right getting into the meat of everything. But, yeah, like he said, you know, he agrees with me. Atlanta fans, Green Bay fans, all you guys, they're not going to go after Kirk Cousins. Sorry to disappoint Atlanta fans. That means you're probably going to see Dallas – probably in a wild card spot or something like that. You know, try not to count those chickens before they hatch. You know, those kinds of things happen. And just I don't get where that rumor started about the Kirk Cousins or going to get a Sony Michel or somebody like that. We're checking to see what's going on. We don't know if that was, it was more than likely it was Blog Talk who dropped the call. But yeah, in fixing that, like you said, there's no easy answer because it's not that the team is that bad. More consistent play, sure. Figuring out what to do at linebacker beyond Sean Lee, not a bad thought. I think the corners are coming along. The fact that you dump so many veterans in a chance to get youthful, shed some of the contract money, because in a couple years, you're going to have to pay Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. I think you're actually, we got him in the same draft, so you have to pay Zeke a year after. You'll pay Dak, I believe. But Dak Prescott's one of the better ones in the league. He's considered arguably one of the bigger steals in, you know, since Tom Brady. I don't think he's going to be in that Brady-like category. But Dak Prescott's good, guys. You can look at those, you know, you can look at those numbers. You can tell. Dallas Cowboys are still trending up. Like I said, as far as a fix, at some point, Dan Bailey is not going to be kicking as good as he does. I don't think that's going to be any time in the next handful of years, so I'm not worried about that. We don't have any mishaps with snaps or punts or any of that sort of thing, so special teams is fine. I think we could try to find a little more dynamic run schemes as far as running kicks back. But I'm not worried about special teams. It's just what RJ said. It's protecting our quarterback and building a defensive line that is as disruptive and chaotic as can be to make the opposing quarterback, that's the Carson Wentz's of the world, that's the newly crowned Prince of Washington, D.C. area, Alex Smith, that's Eli Manning or Davis Webb or whoever they decide to draft if they go that route, that's making those guys as uncomfortable as possible. You know what, Atlanta fans, I believe you're going to be going to Dallas this year as part of your schedule. So you're going to see them over there. When you go to Dallas, you're going to see they're going to build this defensive line. You know, Taco Charlton had a pretty good rookie year. They're trying to get some of the other guys involved. They're trying to get the DeMarcus Lawrences and those guys and keep those guys in the building. I'm not worried at all about this Cowboys team. I'm not. There's no reason to be. The Tyrone Crawfords, you know, keeping those guys in. The Malik Collins, who had a good year. Lyle Collins, we're going to figure out what we're going to do with him. I think he's going to be a good addition on this offensive line. I mean, he did well when he played this year. He was one of the steals because he went undrafted because of a crazy investigation and the videos that come out. And these, you know, we come into draft time, and we know these kinds of crazy things are going to happen. So, you know, you do what you got to do at that point. They're not going to pull up for me? Okay, there we go. I don't know why they list Mark Sanchez as the backup to Dak Prescott. I believe Cooper Rush is probably one of the I don't know that he's the next guy either. I haven't seen him enough play. I was actually going to ask RJ about him, but I will try to do that maybe next time we have him on. We're trying to see if we can get him back on. If we are, then we will definitely bring him right back on. But, yeah, the short answer, Dallas fans, and the long answer is I'm not worried about quarterback. Wide receiver, Dez Bryant, yeah, he still gets separation. RJ said it right there. These guys still get separation. Having Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams has always been a weird question mark to me because he shows these signs of being a really good wide receiver too. And then sometimes he acts like he's a wide receiver 4 or 5. If we can see more consistent play there, I don't mind Terrence as the potential 1 or 2, however you want to line him up with Dez. Having Mr. Rap breakout star himself, Cole Beasley, he gets separation. you know, don't have a problem with the wide receiver position. The running back position of Elliott, Morris, Dunbar did okay. Jackson was okay. We might could maybe try to find a third guy. You know, if DeMarco's available, that's what I was just about to say with RJ. But, you know, that kind of stuff is what it is. If DeMarco's not available, that's fine because he's still technically an RB1. And I really don't want direct competition with Elliott because I feel like it might hurt his play. The other things to look into, the tight end position, Jason Witten, yeah, we need to get a tight end in here that's going to play the Dak Prescott way to play. Somebody that gets open, somebody that fights, you know, if Steve Smith was the size of Gronkowski, that's what we're looking for. Now, that's a one in a blue million. Don't think that somebody like Gronk. I don't think Jimmy Graham is a good fit. I think he's going to command too much of the attention away from Dez and Cole and all those guys. Switzer, I think Switzer's going to emerge. We're going to see him really do some stuff. It's going to be pretty good. Some depth at the offensive line, maybe something we look at here and there, but overall, not a problem. So, kind of the first thing there, the thing we want to do to fix the Dallas Cowboys, just consistency. I think it's consistency. Making sure that, you know, next time Tyron Smith goes out, that whether it's Green or Looney or Leary, or if we move Zach Martin over or slide Lael Collins, whoever we move over there, that they either get the help they need or that we change the scheme up. So, you know, it is what it is as far as that. Now, let's go ahead and move into some NFL news on the back end. I know I can fix Green Bay and Atlanta. Atlanta, trust me, I do bash on you guys, but it's out of love. Atlanta is still my city. Just ran a 5K over the weekend there to benefit the Atlanta Mission. It was great. A lot of Falcons fans there. Got to meet a lot of you guys. That was a lot of fun. You guys get to meet my mom. She comes down for these things to help fundraise. So, you know, good stuff all around. Apparently we're having some technical issues there. We'll see what we can do, see if we can get RJ back on for a minute. Most curious things always happen like that. While we're trying to get him back on, I want to congratulate Austin Dillon for winning the Daytona 500. That was a chaotic, fun end to that race. If you haven't seen it, him and Bubba Wallace finished 1-2. I think Denny Hamlin was 3. It was just fantastic. It couldn't have worked out any better than it did. I think I would have liked other people to win, but so many of the bigger racers, bigger high-profile guys were taken out early. Aaron Rodgers made an appearance as he he made an appearance as, of course, he's been hanging out with Danica Patrick. She didn't have the world's best day, but it is pretty clear now that the two of them are together. So, you know, good on that. See if we can get RJ back on just for a second here. Good, it doesn't give the dial anymore like it used to. Thanks, Blog Talk, for fixing that.
Hey, it's RJ. Sorry, I missed
you. Nope. All right, well, if we get him back on, we'll get him back on. If not, we will try to get him on here in the next couple weeks as well. But it was good having him on. Let me see if we can call him one more time just to see because he's a great guest. I do want to have him on. So,
hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, you got me.
Okay, yeah, I got you there. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Right. I'm going to go ahead and blame Blog Talk Radio, which we run things through, because they tend to like to mess with every show I do. So once again, Blog Talk, you are getting the either the 5-minute major in hockey, or pick your favorite sport, and you know they're getting kicked out of this game. But either way, good to have you back, RJ. Right before it dropped, I was talking about the other rumor that has about as much steam as the Kirk Cousins one, is that Jerry Jones would try to draft, you know, a Sony Michel, or it won't be Saquon, mm-hmm. if I can move up that far, but somebody that's it can be like a 1A to Zeke, and to which I say more than likely they're just going to move in another veteran guy, keep Alfred Morris, and just let Zeke be the 1A.
You know, they're not going to draft another running back in the first round, that's for sure. And Sony Michel is not going to go in the first, I don't think. I mean, the first time I saw it. It wouldn't surprise me if they drafted a guy. No, I mean, later in the rounds, it would not surprise me. It's a cheaper option than Alfred Morris at times, depending on what round they get him in. You're getting younger at the position, and you're getting kind of an electric-type guy. I mean, if you can get – I mean, I don't know what projection round-wise he would go, but if you could tell me that he'd come in the third or fourth round, I mean, I could see them maybe – going maybe a little later than that, maybe going with a spot with him or any running back, only because the cost that it comes with. I mean, it's a cheap cost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so. And that's something I was talking about when we were trying to get you back on a second ago is, you know, for now, we don't have to worry about paying Dak, I think, for another year or so. I believe we wouldn't have to pay Zeke till the year after that, because if it's first-round grade. So we got some years to play with here, where if we did want to move in a big free agent or did want to pay some of the guys on the roster, the money's there.
It is there. That's the one good thing about having a quarterback who's a mid-round guy, is that you're going to have a lot of money to save elsewhere. But that only works for a couple of years. They got 2 years left. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the $20 million. You know, their cap situation is still not great. But it's better than it has been. You know, there's been time where it's been, I mean, they've got to pinch pennies just to, you know, just to try to find somebody. So they could sign a big fish if they wanted to this offseason. So they're in a better situation than normal, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they had a cheap QB.
Yeah, absolutely so. And for everybody who – we all know Jason Witten is getting closer to not playing than he is to continuing to play. But as long as he's on the roster – he's on the roster. He runs his own routes. We know that. I don't have a problem with any of that kind of stuff. The depth behind him is okay. I think this might be the perfect draft to try to go find that guy that just almost possession receiver who's got the big size like he does, and to be the next guy in waiting, so to say. And it's not worth going to get a Jimmy Graham, because he's just not a good fit in Dallas. Just overall, he's going to command too much. That's going to take away from Dez, from Bees, from all those other guys. He just won't fit this scheme.
Well, he may not. I mean, I don't know what they're going to wind up doing with Dez either. But, yeah, I'd rather draft that position anyway. I would much rather – I mean, if you want to find me a number one wide receiver to replace Dez, I'm all for it. I think Dez is done for the most part. I don't think he's number one anymore. So if you were to find something like that, I would be in. In terms of getting a high, you know, a Jimmy Graham tight, I mean, I don't want to pay kind of big money for an aging tight end. I'd rather go for a younger guy.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. And I agree about the wide receiver one. I think that's something this team has needed for probably 2 years now. It's nothing personal mm-hmm. to Dez. He can still get the separation you're talking about. He can still catch his good amount of catches and such like that. He is still good at probably a wide receiver two, which is going to shuffle everybody down,
yeah,
the Terrence Williams and the Bees and all that, which is fine because they're better at the slot areas anyway. Maybe you move Dez to a slot, you go get a cheap free agent to be wide receiver two, and then you find that wide receiver one in the first or second round.
Yeah, no, you know, drafting is always the way to go. Mm-hmm. The number of wide receiver ones, the wide receivers that have been drafted the first round the last 3 years, they haven't really had a ton of success in the league the last 3 years. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't, but the last 3 years, they really haven't made impacts. And if you go look at the Super Bowl champs haven't had a superstar wide receiver on their team for the most part, year in and year out. I mean, that's a position that doesn't command, like, Super Bowl champs don't have the Randy Mosses on their team. Jerry Rice is, Michael Irvin, that's a long time ago. It's really, really different nowadays where you can find yourself. I mean, the best receivers in the NFL, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, they got nothing. They've been to one right. Super Bowl. So, you don't need a superstar wide receiver. You just need guys to get open.
Right. I mean, or you need a quarterback who can either throw them open or make them better. You know, Aaron Rodgers is obviously mm-hmm. playing with a bunch of B-minuses up in Green Bay, who he makes into A's. You look at what Russell Wilson does with the band of misfit toys he has up there that they don't spend money on. So, Dak can be that guy, too. He can be that guy to kind of rise everybody up maybe a half level to where, like you said, we don't necessarily have to have the A+. We can get by with an A- or a B+.
Yes, that's true. They don't need that A+ guy, but Dak can do that. Dak's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is different. Aaron Rodgers is a different animal. I mean, he's one of the best in the game. He is the best in the game now, but there's no doubt that Dak's a guy that can make all the throws. He can be a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because this year wasn't as good as last year that people thought he lost a step. And I was like, why don't you go back and look? The numbers are actually pretty close. If you overall just break down each mm-hmm. game, he's the same quarterback. He's one of the most consistent guys in the league.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, his QBR went from, what, third to fourth? Okay,
yeah,
I mean, that's a huge drop, man. Wow, that's just terrible. We got to get a new quarterback now. It's kind of nonsense. Like, all this talk that Dak's regressed, it's crazy. Dak didn't regress. Dak had a good year. He just didn't have as good a year as did year one. And that's like, that was unrealistic anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have some of the pieces in place that he did in the first year, and that kind of thing happens all the time. We see it with some of the best players in the league, and yeah, I'm not worried about any of those aspects. I feel like they're going to make the right moves that they need to. Now, in the past couple of weeks, one of the main topics we brought up, I got to ask you this one because I feel like also at some point you guys have either talked about this or you may talk about it soon. We went through, I think it was 8 different teams we went through, and basically it's this. I'll tailor this just to Dallas. It's as long as Jerry Jones is the general manager and as long as Jason Garrett is the head coach, will that duo bring a Super Bowl to Dallas?
The right answer is no, because only one team wins. The right answer is no, because the reality is that that no coach you bring in with general manager, like, you can't say that about anyone. You couldn't say that about the Eagles till this year. You can say that about Bill Belichick. That's it. You can't say that about anybody else. I mean, that's just the reality. The way the league is structured, it's an 8-8 league. There's like 2 teams that win every year. And, I mean, you can't say how many coaches out there, coach-GM combos, can you actually say that realistically, oh, yeah, they're going to bring a championship? I mean, are you going to say that about the Rams? Everyone loves Sean McVay. You going to say about them? No, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, they can bring a championship. No, you're not going to say that because it's foolish to say it. The percentages say you're not going to win a title.
Absolutely. That's the argument I made. It's I think the only ones that we almost unanimously gave credit to was we thought New Orleans or Atlanta, just because they both have about a 2-year window. But after those 2 years, those teams are going to kind of go different directions. I think Dallas is more here for the long haul, and it's not just because I'm a fan.
Well, they're here for the long haul. They're here for 2 more years, too, because, Zeke's going to be done in a couple of years. It's the nature of the running back position. And the offensive line is going to get old, and Dak's going to be more expensive. So the Cowboys will be done. I mean, they've got a small window, too. They don't have a 10-year window. Everyone will say they have a 10-year window because they have a young quarterback. Well, they've got a 2-year window. They're about to be Seattle in a couple of years. They're 4 years away from being Seattle right now.
Right. Yeah, definitely so. And as we finish up here with RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Fort Worth, I can't let you out of here without asking you about your volunteers. At a different time, I'll ask how you got to Tennessee from the crazy New York to New Jersey to Tennessee. But what do you think of Jeremy Pruitt as your guy? And what did you think about that whole fiasco beforehand?
I'll give Pruitt a chance. I was never a fan. I thought that when Fulmer, took back over. He went total old boys network, and look at the guys he interviewed. It was there's a viewpoint in Knoxville, like this whole Greg Schiano got completely railroaded there. Bill Belichick wanted to bring him onto his staff. I mean, Bill Belichick wanted to bring him onto his staff. Urban Meyer keeps him there. I mean, you gonna tell me that guy's not a good coach? It's just insanity. It was football ignorance by people saying that he wasn't a good football coach at Rutgers, which is completely insane. They have no idea how hard of a job that is. Winning five games at Rutgers is him going to six bowl games at Rutgers is the equivalent of winning a national championship at Texas. It's that hard to do, and people there are just stupid sometimes. And I get it. You know, I understand the situation with Penn State and not wanting to go there, and I am sensitive to that, and I completely understand. But I mean, you're gonna do that over a, I mean, it's a rumor, so that to me that doesn't strike me as that doesn't pass the smell test with me. But he was a good coach. I'll give Pruitt a chance. I'm not a fan of Fulmer anymore. I mean, I thought he backstabbed Curry. That was Johnny Majors 2.0. I was not a fan of that. Right now, I'm focused on their basketball team. That's a good team. They got a good coach. I like the team. The football team is, man, I'll figure it out in August. it's a depressing spot right now.
Well, absolutely. It's been great. Hey, we had a technical glitch in the middle of that, but that is what we call radio and media. But RJ, it's been great having you on. We hope to do this again in the future. And if you find yourself out in the greater Metro Atlanta area, hit us up, and we will plan a parade to celebrate your high-low championship.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks, man. Have fun with it.
Hey, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
And that was RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan. We had some good talks there. We did a good job of fixing the Cowboys. I always like hearing his insight. Sean and RJ do a great job out in the greater DFW area there. But I want to move to the more local. We want to talk about the Georgia Swarm. And to me, we can't talk about the Georgia Swarm without talking about, I hope I get the position right, he is a transition player from the Georgia Swarm. He is Ethan O'Connor. Did I get that right?
Yeah, exactly. Transition, I probably characterize more defense, but that's how it's written up on the website.
See, I'm trying to learn some of this. I'm relatively new to lacrosse, so it's been good getting out there to get to cover you guys this year and get involved in it. And that's what I told people. I was like, I tried to get everybody into hockey a couple years ago, and I did. A lot of people start going to gladiator games now. I'm trying to get people into lacrosse, and then I guess curling is my next thing. But you kind of having a history up in Toronto. Have you tried curling?
I've actually never tried curling. My mom, she's big into it. She's a teacher in the high school system up here, and she does a course every year in that, so she's big into it.
Huh. There you go. And that's probably not even the most random thing I'll ask you today. But like I said, he is transition player from the Georgia Swarm. He is Ethan O'Connor. You've actually been with the team for a handful of years. So, you know, tell us kind of what the difference was between kind of your time here last season and then this season so far. It seemed like it was a little bit of a slow start, but the schedule was a little different.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing between last year and this year is a little bit of continuity. I myself had a little bit of issues starting the year. Long story short, is immigration issues. So I just got married to a home now. And when we got married in July, I had to go through a green card process to be able to work and, you know, live full time in the States. And we thought that'd be done before the start of the season. But unfortunately, it didn't. I missed four games. So I had issues starting the season. We've had another guy who had work problems, Jordan Hall, who started last week. And then Chad Tutton, who's been out for a year with an Achilles injury. He just – his first game of this past week. So I'd say we're missing some pretty key guys, especially Jordan Hall and Chad Tutton being out of the lineups. But everybody's starting to come back in. And I think this past week you kind of saw the team that we can be with our offense scoring, defense kind of holding the other teams at key points. So I think we're on the right road. I think we just didn't have the same guys that we had last year on the floor.
I think I would definitely agree with that, because that was kind of the way I was filled in with not only people with the organization, but also with a lot of the fans, because when I cover teams, I don't necessarily just try to stay in the booth like some people do, which is fine if they want to do it that way. I try to go and I sit with the fans and I talk with the fans and I see how they get into things, and I try to really get the ultimate vibe there. And they were saying, you know, it's good to have these guys back because now people who were in other roles that they don't always play can go back to their roles, and everybody's in their own seat on the bus, basically, and that's why the bus was moving the way it was. I mean, I thought Country Night went about as good as it could. I think we've made a fan out of Scotty McCreary.
I hope so. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun time having him. You know, if he can come back again, he's more than welcome.
Oh yeah, and any time that he's not just saying something like that, you know, when at the end he's like, you know what, first time I came to lacrosse and won't be my last. I'll be back. I thought it went pretty well, but you know, overall. For people who aren't familiar with lacrosse, kind of how did you get interested in lacrosse, and how did you ultimately get to playing in the NLL now?
Well, as a Canadian, we actually start playing lacrosse at a really young age. Hockey and lacrosse kind of go hand in hand. You play hockey in the winter and lacrosse in the summer, especially we only really play box lacrosse in Canada. So I've been playing lacrosse since I was maybe 3 years old. Spent my entire, you know, summers in the arenas. My dad was the coach, so you know, 4 or 5 days a week, you'd be in the arena in the summers on when there's no school, basically just hanging with your friends. And I started playing field lacrosse in maybe high school, and then that led to eventually a university scholarship at a small college called Fort in upstate New York. Played there, but always my love has been box lacrosse, playing indoors. And in the summers, you come home, you play junior lacrosse, just like someone playing junior hockey would. And then eventually, I think maybe 5 years ago, when you're done your university ball, you either choose to get drafted, and I was lucky enough to get drafted in the first round by the Toronto Rock. And, you know, a year later, I was traded to the Swarm and have been there ever since.
Yeah, that's actually the, I guess, the hometown team, not just because there's only 9 teams, but you grew up in Milton, which is just right outside Toronto, right?
Yeah, about half an hour outside of Toronto.
Now, is that closer to Toronto or Hamilton?
Honestly, it's like smack dab between. If you got to go through Hamilton to get to Milton, you got to go through Milton to get to Toronto.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad that my Canadian map skills are as good as they are, apparently.
Yeah, not bad. I'm
well,
it helps. Don't know Milton, so I'm surprised you knew.
Well, when I found out you're from Milton, I don't remember who it was, but I've came across somebody in the sports world that was from there, and I remember talking to them about it, and I remembered about where it was. So I sound smarter than I am at this point, but it was just pure coincidence, I think, that you happen to be from there.
Small world.
That is how it works. The world gets smaller every day. Some of the fan questions, because whenever I'm going to have a guest on, a lot of times, especially professional players, I always ask the fans, what are some things you'd want to ask? So I'm going to get into a couple of those real quick. We might circle around to them. One fan wants to know who you hang out with the most on the team.
I'm not just saying this because a lot of teams say this, but honestly, this is the tightest team I've ever been on. And when we go out after the games or, you know, when you're traveling, it's really everybody's doing it together. No one's going off with, you know, two friends off on their own. It's remarkable how close this team's become over the past 2-3 years since we've moved. And, I mean, I guess in terms of travel-wise, we've got another Buffalo guy on our team, Zed Williams, so I travel a lot with him. The Thompson brothers, they fly out of Buffalo a lot. So I guess in terms of just travel, we're the only ones that really fly Buffalo to games, but when we're all together, it's really everybody's going to lunches together. Everybody stays in the same hotels together. We're really together all the time. I can't say I have one best friend. We're just a team of, you know, really good friends that love playing together, love spending time with each other.
I think it's real easy to I guess agree with that, because when you see this team play, in just a small handful of sample size games I've seen, including going back to last year to watch some of them, it's a family more than it is a team. And it's great to see that in a team around here. That's one of the things I think a lot of Atlanta teams are missing. And I think that ultimately led to how you guys raised the trophy last year.
Yeah, it was a big surprise that I think to a lot of teams other than us that we were eventually able to, you know, break out and win. But a testament to is owner John Arlotta and his son Andy Arlotta, you know, really sticking to a philosophy that, good players play in the NLL, but great people play for the Georgia Swarm. So they built the team on a philosophy that, you know, you can't just be a good player, and it really shows on our team. And I think that's why we all get along so well together.
I absolutely agree with that. And we're talking to Georgia Swarm transition player Ethan O'Connor. Ethan, what would you say are some of the more important traits to being successful at lacrosse?
I guess a couple different things, just because you have the offense, you have the defensive side. The biggest thing is, you know, stamina, being able to run up and down, being able to play full 60 minutes. You can definitely tell who's done their condition, who hasn't. Eye-hand coordination, being able to catch, pick up the ground balls, pass. You know, you can't really do anything without being able to pick up the ball and being able to pass to your teammate. I would say, you know, those are two things. If you can run, you can. You've got a little bit of stick skills. You can pick up everything else. It's not hard to learn the systems like any other sport. It's just if you can get those two things down, you know, we can grow you there that way.
Now, even though I know you're more on the defensive side, would you say that offense or defense is a more important thing with lacrosse?
I'm probably a little bit biased, but defense is definitely more important than the offense. You can't win if you can't shut them out. But, no, the way our team's built, I'd say our offense gets a lot of the limelight, you know, deservedly so. They scored their record pace last year, and I think as a defense – we just like to be able to support them. They're the number one, they're the number one group of guys in our team. And as a defense, we love taking a backseat to them. They make it easy for us.
There you go. Once again, it's that family aspect. It's not just the team aspect, the family aspect. What has having a goalie like Mike Poulin meant to this team?
I mean, you can kind of see what happened when we brought him in last year. We turned into a championship team. He's not only a leader, but he's also a great team guy on the team. He made us a better team just by his presence, but his play, you know, speaks for itself. He's been in the league for a long time. He's had great year every year after year, and he makes the defense better. He makes our offense better. He makes our team better.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. He makes some saves that I think make a lot of guys in the NHL pretty jealous. It's unbelievable how he can dig something out sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's not so much the volume of saves that he makes, but it's the quality of saves that he, you know, just at the right time, the type of save. It's remarkable that he does it day in and day out. And you know, even if he has a bad day or if he lets in a bad goal, he's probably the best goalie in the league to be able to forget his mistake and move on for the next shift.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you guys kind of get to enjoy a little bit of a break here as you kind of get almost 2 weeks off between the game against Toronto the other day, and then you guys won't play again until the home game March 2nd versus Colorado, I believe, and then you go to Toronto on a back-to-back. What's it like playing those back-to-back series?
It's tough, but it's funny. Our coach, Eddie Como, brings this up every time we play a team that's had a back-to-back or whenever we're in a back-to-back. But it's a weird phenomenon that teams on a back-to-back in our league usually do really well in the second game. You'd think it'd be the complete opposite, that, you know, the second game you usually lose. But it's a weird phenomenon. It goes back, you know, since the start of the NLL. The teams that are playing their second of a back-to-back usually do very well. So it's tiring on the players, that's for sure, but historically it's almost a welcome for a team who might be in a rut or something like that to get that back-to-back, because historically they do well.
You know, I think there is something to that. It's almost like it keeps the juices flowing, keeps the blood flowing a little more, that you're just coming off of a game. You can kind of use the momentum off of one to go into the other.
Yeah, I think With the NFL, you get a full week off right before you play.
Mm-hmm.
But they have practices throughout the week. Us in the NLL, unfortunately, the nature of the league, we don't really practice during the week. We just, you know, play on the weekends, and you don't see the guys until the next weekend. It is something to say where that first game kind of gets you warmed up, and you're ready to go by that second time, whereas if you're playing a team that hasn't played yet that weekend, like you said, they've got that rust. They're still trying to get into that first game of the weekend.
Which is amazing. That's what I explain to people, that you guys really don't get to practice all that much during the week. You're usually in opposite directions. You pretty much just kind of fly in or just move in for the game, and then you play, and you have to have that continuity just immediately. But it's almost like an old rock band that hadn't seen each other in you know, 6 months that just joins back up and has just a great tour.
Exactly. It's, you know, you're coming out and you've got a little bit of responsibility to keep yourself in shape and with your sticking your hand throughout the week. But as a team plays and stuff like that, it's all video prep. It's all talking to guys on the phone, but there's nothing actually on the floor. There's nothing that you actually practice the stick hand.
Absolutely. And as we finish up with transition Georgia Swarm player Ethan O'Connor, not only has it been a blast having you on, but what would be your overall message to not only the fans who are coming to games, but to people that aren't sure if they want to come see live lacrosse? What kind of message would you give those people about why they should come see you guys play?
You got guys that we're trying to put on a show every day. We understand that, you know, the lifeblood of the league is our fans, so we're trying to put on a good show for you guys week in and week out. Also, you know, any new fan that's coming to a game with us for the Swarm, we're really accessible. If you stay after the game, if you come early, whether it's a panel that we're signing autographs or you catch a player in the hallway, we love talking to our fans. We love talking to new fans. We love explaining lacrosse. I could talk lacrosse all day, whether it's with you here or, you know, just someone who has no idea and just wants to learn. We're really, everybody's down to earth guys. We're working guys. We work during the week and we come to enjoy lacrosse and, you know, spread it wherever we can.
Now, I'm not going to put the Swarm on the spot with this, but maybe I can get it to where one day I'll come early enough and maybe we can do some Facebook Live or do something where maybe you show me some pointers, somebody who's never played, maybe to show people not only how high intensity and everything that in physical this game is, because it literally is hockey on turf is the best way I can describe it, because you guys really get into it with each other. But, you know, maybe we can try to show people what lacrosse is all about and get more people out.
Hey, you name the day. We'll set something up.
Well, like I said, without putting them on notice, because we're working with them on some other things too, but Swarm, I guess I'm kind of halfway putting you on notice that I'm game for anything and it won't cost you anything. So maybe we'll try to make that happen. But Ethan, it's been great having you on. I know you have some other things you need to get to as well, but it has been fantastic having you on. We look forward to not only a great Swarm season, but you having a great season as well. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed coming on today.
Have a good rest of your evening.
Yep, you too. Thank you.
And that was Ethan O'Connor from the Georgia Swarm. Seriously, guys, if you guys aren't going out to Georgia Swarm games, then you are missing out, because it is literally, they call it the fastest game on 2 feet. That's an understatement. It literally is hockey on turf. It's fast paced. It's one of the oldest games. In fact, this may actually help my dad, I'll go ahead and say it. I know he's going to listen to the show, but my dad's not big into trying a lot of new things. I try to get him into a lot of stuff. I totally understand when he doesn't want to do a lot, get into some of the things, but what's going to help him come to one of these games is not just me talking about it and the things that we're going to try to do with the Swarm. What's going to get him to a Swarm game? He's currently on a cruise where he's down in Mexico, where he's checking out some ruins and some Mayan ruins. Lacrosse and forms of lacrosse go back so far. I mean, there's forms of lacrosse in a lot of the older civilizations. So I told him some of the things to look for down there, and when he sees those, he's going to see how old and how great this game is. And guys, seriously, go to georgiaswarm.com to check out things like that. Let's see. Before we go to, you know what, I'm going to save Atlanta and I'm going to save Green Bay. We're going to fix those in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we can get Coach on for Green Bay, and hopefully we can get Reggie on for Atlanta. And next time we have Cody on, we'll do the Raiders and we'll do the 49ers, because that'll be fun. But before we get into some NHL news and some Olympic talk, I want to let you know that if you want to follow either of our guests on Twitter, at RJ Choppy, that's C-H-O-P-P-Y, we'll get you following RJ. And if you want to follow Ethan O'Connor, he is at E-37-O-C. Needless to say, that's his initials with 37 in the middle of them. Fantastic guy. Great to get to have those guys on. Like I said, if you think I want to get into a couple NFL stories, two NFL stories. I want to talk a little bit about the Olympics, and we'll get out of here, because it's been a fantastic show so far, and I hope you guys are enjoying as much as we are. We're going to try to get some more guests on in the next couple weeks as well. Hope you guys enjoy all those. We'll get into all our information towards the end. Now, one of the NFL stories I want to talk to is a story that I heard from Mike Florio. Now, I heard it from Mike before he posted it, and then he posted a story about it. Peyton Manning not only had a fun time at the Daytona 500, where he drove the pace car. I don't know what he was driving like. He was going 10. He had his hands at 10-2. He was only pretty much looking forward, and it seems like he was going about 40 miles an hour. So we'll have to work with you, Peyton, on how to drive a NASCAR. That's not quite how you do it. And you being a Southerner, ties to Louisiana, ties to Tennessee, ties to even Indianapolis. We got to work on that a little bit. But overall, I thought he did well. But no, the thing about Peyton Manning is apparently between the ESPN Monday Night Football booth and now that Fox has the Thursday Night Football rights, apparently, if he chose to go into a booth, he would have his pick of those two jobs, pretty much the way Romo had his pick of CBS or Fox. The only difference is CBS put him on the one crew. I think Fox was going to put him on the two or the three, and they're just numbered that way, but it wouldn't be the top games all the time. I don't know that this is something Peyton would want to get into necessarily. I think he'd be a pretty good commentator. You'd get some good stories out of him, some good breakdown, some Romo-like breakdown. But he's got some good stories. Peyton's a good storyteller. No, I still think he's gearing up to be a potential owner, kind of a John Elway type. And we say that all the time. But in this case, I mean, I don't think he's quite at that point of doing it. That's why I thought Tennessee in the last year or so being kind of up and down available wasn't quite the right fit. He wasn't ready. I don't think he's ready to take over the Carolina Panthers. But I still think you got to kind of look at the New Orleans Saints, that the Manning family could kind of go in on that. Tom Benson's health has not been great here recently. In fact, I believe he's back sick again. He could actually be in the hospital. Either way, I want you to feel better soon, Tom. Tom Benson's one of the greatest people in and around the league, and he's done so much for New Orleans that nobody gives him credit for, because nobody knows. But as far as Peyton Manning in a booth, I think it's possible. I just don't think it's going to be – I mean, this would be his best time to do it, and I'm not sure that he's going to lean that way, because who would you pair him with? You know, you're not going to take Troy Aikman's spot with Fox. In the Monday night booth, I mean, you would have to put him with – I mean, a lot of people think that Herb Street I just forgot the other guy on College Game Day, Chris Fowler. If you had Chris Fowler and Herb Street, that they could be the Monday night booth. Well, if you put Peyton as the third, that would be worth tuning into. I'm already watching it anyway, but I would definitely go out of my way and make sure to catch that booth. That booth would be quite amazing. The only difference is I don't know that Fowler and Herb Street would want to work Saturdays and Mondays like that, because they usually have other things. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens there. Peyton going into a booth, let's put that at a serious 60-40 that he could, but the 40 is just as big. It might as well be a coin flip. I'm gonna save a debate I have on here because I want to wait till one of the other guys are on. I think we're really gonna get into it on that. You guys are gonna enjoy it. So we'll finish up by talking about some Olympics. The Olympics have been fantastic. Just like I said, the Winter Olympics are better than the Summer Olympics because these are all things we did out in the yard, even if it didn't snow or ice where you were at, because trust me, it doesn't snow very often here in Atlanta. It ices a lot. We've had some snow here recently, so I had to take it back that it never does. But these are all events. You had a big hill. You had a big driveway. Maybe you lived in a subdivision. You got whatever contraption with wheels or even without and tried to go up and down it. Guess what that is? That's the skeleton. That's the luge. That's the bobsled. Ice dancing is basically what you do when you step on a piece of black ice that you did not see there. That's pretty much what we do here. I'll give them credit for that. No, but, you know, piling all your buddies into a contraption and going flying down a hill, like I said, that's bobsled. Curling, I don't know that we necessarily played forms, but Winter Olympics are a lot more of the types of activities that we think we could do, even though we're probably not anywhere close to being qualified to be a part of these. They're probably things that we could actually do. You know, like I always say, it's not like I walk out my yard and go, gosh, if I only had a pointed spear projectile that I could just chuck across the yard. As cool as the javelin is, and the people that do it are fantastic, exceptional athletes, it's not something I think about wanting to do. Even the basketball. I like playing basketball in people's driveways and in gyms. I know I'm not good enough to do that kind of stuff. The Winter Olympics gives us that hope that we think we could do those. Plus, you got the men's hockey team that's been doing great. The women's hockey team, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, enough people have spoiled things for me. If you haven't seen it yet, the women's team winning in a shootout over Canada for the gold medal, that's one of those just yes moments. And it's been a long time since that's happened. So congratulations to them on that. You know, figure skating has actually been surprisingly good. A lot of guys, or a lot of just guys in general, think that it's not worth watching. Guys, you got to see what they're doing here. Ice dancing is the only one that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because there's no spins and turns, but there's an art to that too. Figure skating, we've been doing pretty well. We got some pretty good groups there with that, but I'm going to be glued. I've DVR'd a bunch of different curling throughout the day, so as soon as I get out of here, I will be glued to that. Probably popping a couple of daddy sodas, enjoying a late night snack because it's kind of late to eat dinner at this point. But, you know, find your favorite daddy sodas. Pop a few brews, watch some curling. Bobsled. You know, here in Atlanta, we had Elena Myers, who actually went to school with my wife. Maybe we can get her on the show. We should try to do that. Elena and my wife. I think my wife would enjoy this show. But overall, the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, to me, have exceeded my expectations. I thought I would tune in, watch a little bit of curling, maybe watch the women's bobsled, you know, because the connection to Elena Myers Taylor, I believe is her last name, Elena Myers Taylor. And, you know, obviously watching hockey. I watch just not just U.S. in that. I watch all of them because, you know, this year we didn't send any pro players out. That's a whole different thing. You're going to probably hear about that on Board Check, which programming note will be out sometime tomorrow. We had to move it around because of a personal matter we had to take care of, but I promise you Board Check will be out. We've got some good debates, some good things coming up there. But overall, the Olympics, I hate that they're going to be done next week because then we can watch NHL, we can watch NBA, or maybe World Cricket League. It's just all the excitement's going to be done. But we are going to try to get some Olympic-related guests on in the next couple of weeks, especially as they are winding down. So tune into that. And as always, at Team Impact Media, at The Impact 99, is how you can find us on Twitter. Make sure to send us your questions, comments, suggestions. If you haven't been to the iTunes store yet, give us a rating and review if you will. It helps us out and helps keep everything amazing and awesome. Working on some potential other things that you guys are going to really like. Obviously, the guys will be back in the next couple of weeks off their vacations. I want to give a shout-out to Ethan O'Connor of the Georgia Swarm and RJ Choppy of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas as a part of the Sean and RJ show for being our guests tonight and making this show better. That's all we try to do. We try to get great guests to make this show better, and I think we knocked it out of the park. But for Coach Hill, for Cody, for Reggie, obviously for myself, and for John and Joseph and everybody else here at Impact Media, I am Jeremy the Impact York. Once again, board check will be sometime tomorrow. Make sure to stay tuned for that. We will see you guys next week. Go Swarm.
So let's take. Yeah. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Yeah, I witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose hell. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might can possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Missed it by that much.